Greetings and happy Friday to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA Sonny Young in Washington. Thanks for tuning in this evening. Welcome to the sunny side of sports.
Stand up! Stand up! Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to the sunny side of sports.
Yes, my friend.
The sunny side of sports.
Sunny side of sports.
The sunny side of sports show.
Great show, bro. This is sunny side of sports.
Sunny side of sports right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Stand up. Stand up. Stand up.
My opening serve on the sunny side of sports is Australian Open tennis. Defending champion Roger Federer will face Marin Cilic in Sunday's men's singles final in Melbourne. Federer advanced Friday when his South Korean opponent, Chung Hyun, retired in the second set because of a blister on his foot. Federer won the first set 6-1. And was leading the second set 5-2 when Chung signaled to the chair umpire he couldn't continue. In an on-court interview after the match, Federer had this to say.
I thought the first set was, let's say, kind of normal. I couldn't tell what was going on with my opponent, but I guess I was too focused on trying just protect the lead, to be honest. In the second set, I started to feel he was getting a bit slower, fighting with the blister. I know he's had a problem with the blister for some time, but just don't know how bad it is, really. And I've played with blisters in the past a lot, and it hurts a lot. And at one point, it's just too much, and you can't take it anymore. And when you realize there's no way you can come back and you make things really worse, it's better to stop. That's why this one feels bittersweet. Clearly, I'm incredibly happy to be in the finals, but not like this. And he's played such a wonderful tournament, so credit to him for trying so hard today again.
We heard Roger Federer give credit to the 21-year-old Chung for playing a wonderful tournament. Chung is the first South Korean to advance to a Grand Slam semifinal. Now the 36-year-old Swiss maestro Federer goes after a record-extending 20th Grand Slam singles title against the Croatian Cilic, who he beat in last year's Wimbledon final. Here's how Federer sizes up Cilic, the 2014 U.S. Open champion.
He brings the power. He brings basically everything, you know, and he's a really nice guy. And he had a similar problem that Chung had in the Wimbledon finals, fighting with a blister himself. So having 2 days off and not a brutal semis, I think that's going to help him a lot. And we'll see a fresh and ready Marin this time around. On this kind of a court, you got to play aggressive, himself and myself, but he can bring the power, and I'm sure he believes if he's come this far, that means he's feeling good.
The Australian Open women's singles final is Saturday, and it features two European players both bidding for their first Grand Slam title. Caroline Wozniacki of Denmark will meet Simona Halep of Romania. Joining us now with a package of African football news is reporter Samson Omale, who says he'll be kicking off with the African Nations Championship quarterfinals in Morocco. Good evening, Samson.
Good evening to you, Sonny. On Saturday, host Morocco will face Namibia at the Stade Mohammed V, while Sudan and Zambia will engage in the late kick-off. The other set of quarterfinal games will be played on Sunday as Nigeria play Angola at the Ibn Battuta Stadium and Congo Republic will face Libya. In the meantime, organizers of the 2018 African Nations Championship have called for Algeria Football Federation President Keredine Zetchi to be suspended from CAF for 2 years. Their call for his suspension came after the Algeria Football Federation President allegedly withdrew from his duties at the 2018 CHAN, where he was assigned to the Marrakech venue without any notice given to the organizing committee. Zetchi's resignation from his CHAN duties followed a rejection of his appeal to have the CAF executive board to integrate FAF vice president Bachir Oud Zimri, despite the deadline for such an action having long since lapsed. Staying with football news, Botswana will not host the 2018 COSAFA Regional Cup due to budget constraints. Botswana Football Association Chief Executive Officer Mfolo Mfolo said the expectation was for COSAFA to take care of the entire budget, but because of the economic meltdown currently affecting the world, COSAFA felt the burden of taking care of all the costs will be too much for them to bear. And in female football news, the Nigerian Football Federation has signed an agreement with top Swedish football coach Thomas Denneby to take the role of head coach of 8-time African female football champions, the Super Falcons of Nigeria. The contract also enables Denneby to come into the job with an assistant, Mr. Jorgen Pettersson, another highly experienced Swedish coach nominated by Denneby himself. I am Samson Omale in Abuja, Nigeria.
Thanks, Samson, and have a nice weekend. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. The National Football League's annual Super Bowl championship game will be a rematch of the 2005 title contest, as we hear now from VOA's Jim Stevenson.
Super Bowl 52 looks a lot like Super Bowl 39. It's the New England Patriots versus the Philadelphia Eagles. And like the game 13 years ago, won by the Patriots, Tom Brady is still arguably the best quarterback in the National Football League.
You know, I guess it's my life, so I'm living it, and it feels very natural and normal just because, you know, I wake up every day and I feel very much the same as I did when I walked in here 18 years ago. I really do.
The Patriots found themselves behind the visiting Jacksonville Jaguars for most of the American Conference Championship game, but as the team has done so many times, it rallied behind Brady's leadership.
We finally could get the field on our side and get some field position, some short fields, and turn, you know, the one score into two scores, and that's why you play all four quarters too. It's the game's never over after the halftime, and you got to go to the end.
An unusual injury from practice left Brady with stitches in his right thumb on his throwing hand, casting some doubt on how he might play.
This was a little injury at the end of the day. It's certainly a big part of what a quarterback does. I mean, I have a lot worse injuries than this, but if this was on my left hand, I could care less, but it's based on where it was, and, you know, we had to deal with it.
Receiver Danny Amendola scored two crucial touchdowns late in the game for the 24-20 win.
A big reason why this team wins a lot in the fourth quarter is because the preparation all year and the mentality that our head coach brings to our team. It's going to be a 60-minute fight, and we know we're going to be have a chance at the end of the game, no matter how far we are down.
Despite being behind early, Coach Bill Belichick wasn't too concerned.
We came in at halftime with, you know, a good level of confidence that it was a four-point game and we hadn't played well. If we could get it going, that we could win the game. And it took us a little while to do that.
The Philadelphia Eagles were led by backup quarterback Nick Foles, who has played since starter Carson Wentz suffered a season-ending knee injury in mid-December. Foles delivered three touchdowns in a 38-7 romp over the Minnesota Vikings. He credits the protection he had from his teammates.
That's the key to an offense, is the offensive line. And we have, you know, the most athletic, best offensive line in the league. I mean, those guys are unbelievable. I mean, each one of them can probably beat me in a race. That's how athletic they are.
Foles and the Eagles wasted no time.
Yeah, we want to be aggressive. I mean, this is Minnesota, one of the best teams in football. Obviously, their defense is one of the top defenses in the league. So we had to go right at them and be aggressive. We were able to execute well.
And he was happy the game was in Philadelphia.
The fans were amazing. I mean, that is so hard when you're the opposing offense and you're trying to get your checks, you're trying to communicate, you're trying to say the play in the huddle, you're trying to do all these things. Like, that is a huge advantage, and it's shown throughout these last several years here in Philadelphia, the loudness of the fans and the passion of the fans.
Philadelphia coach Doug Pettersson had a game plan, but he knew where the real victory came from.
Listen, at the end of the day, there is no magical offense or defensive play or special teams play. It comes down to players and players making plays, and our guys did that.
Super Bowl 52 is February 4th in Minneapolis, Minnesota. As South Korea prepares to host the 2018 Winter Olympic Games in Pyeongchang in just a couple weeks, some South Korean athletes are pushing back against government efforts to showcase inter-Korean unity between North and South by fielding unified teams. South Korea's women's ice hockey team is the first to be singled out to include North Korean players. This proposal is meeting opposition. North and South Korean ice hockey teams competed as opponents at the International Ice Hockey Federation's Ice Hockey Hockey Women's World Championship in April 2017. South Korean team coach Sarah Murray had barely landed in South Korea this month before she was asked about the idea.
Adding somebody in, North Korean or South Korean, adding somebody in so close to the Olympics, it's a little bit dangerous just for team chemistry because the girls have been together for so long.
It's not yet a done deal as officials from both countries are still in talks about North Korea's participation at Pyeongchang.
The players, they've earned their spots. They think they deserve to go to the Olympics. Then you have people being added in later. It definitely affects them, but we can't let it bother us. Like, we can't have it be an excuse as to why we don't perform well at the Olympics. We have to do our best regardless of what's happening to us.
Officials are deciding if and how to proceed. Do Jong-hwan is the South Korean Minister of Culture, Sports, and Tourism.
Regarding the women's ice hockey team, our 23 players will remain. We are discussing ways to expand the team's roster from 23 to 30.
A recent poll shows over 80% of South Koreans welcome the North's decision to send a large delegation to the Pyeongchang Olympics, but 70% of the public opposes the formation of a combined team. Thousands of South Koreans signed online petitions asking their government to drop the idea. But for South Korean President Moon Jae-in, the greater goal for this Olympics is to promote peace and hopefully achieve denuclearization with the isolated and repressive Kim Jong-un government.
If the South and North form a united team and participate in the Olympic Games, I think it will become a historic moment. Not only Koreans, but people from all over the world will be moved to see such a historic moment. And it will be a great start to resolve inter-Korean issues.
North Korea boycotted when South Korea hosted the Summer Olympics in 1988. This time, during the opening ceremony, South and North Korea athletes will walk together under a special United Korea flag. North Korea will send a large delegation, including a Taekwondo demonstration team, an orchestra to perform, and hundreds of cheerleaders. And skiers from both sides will train at North Korea's Mount Kumgang Mountain Resort prior to the Games.
Thanks, Jim. That's my VOA colleague, Jim Stevenson. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. In African boxing, top Ugandan lightweight Sharif the Lion Bogere will be back in the ring Saturday night in Las Vegas, Nevada. So says our reigning prince of pugilistics, Namdi Hollywood Moeta.
Well, Sonny, if you remember last time, we mentioned to the listeners that Sharif is signed with Floyd Mayweather Promotions. And the key is to keep you busy. And the Lion has not been busy. Well, the Lion will step into the ring January 27th against Arturo Santos of Mexico. This is a very important fight for him. In the fight game, we call this fight a stay busy fight. And if you're in Kampala or you're in Lagos and Accra, you can watch this fight live on Facebook from the Mayweather Promotion Facebook page. We've seen this happening in boxing now, and it's bringing a whole lot of eyeballs to the game. Remember again, January 27th, anywhere in Uganda, Kampala, go to Facebook, Mayweather Promotions page, and you can see the Lion live from Las Vegas.
Can the Lion get a world title shot in 2018?
I look forward to seeing the Lion fighting for the belt not later than summer 2018 or fall 2018. As long as he remains healthy, he must perform. And after January 27th, we can start thinking of him taking a world contender or even challenging for the world title because his promoter can put up the money, put up the dough for the Lion.
Thanks, Namdi. That's our reigning prince of pugilistics, Namdi Hollywood Moeta. Just ahead, Dan Friedel will have some more details about the Kobe Bryant Oscar nomination we discussed yesterday. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. Sports reporter Dan Friedel joins us now with some background information about former NBA star Kobe Bryant's Academy Award nomination. Hi, Dan.
Hi, Sonny. I just wanted to give our listeners a little more background about the story of Kobe's Oscar nomination. We were talking a little bit about the history of the Los Angeles Lakers yesterday. The news came out on Tuesday morning, but first, let's listen to a clip from the animated short film. It's narrated by Bryant himself.
This season is all I have left to give. My heart can take the pounding. My mind can handle the grind. But my body knows it's time to say goodbye. And that's okay. I'm ready to let you go.
That's Kobe Bryant with music by legendary Hollywood conductor John Williams in Dear Basketball, which was nominated this week in the Best Animated Short Film category for this year's Academy Awards, which will be presented in March. The narration is based on a poem Bryant wrote for the website The Players Tribune. It came out in the fall of 2015 when Bryant announced that season would be his last in the NBA. Bryant retired in April of 2016. Now, the film may not be the favorite in the category. According to a website that follows the animation business, that belongs to a French film called Negative Space. But Bryant's film has a lot of star power behind it. In addition to Williams, who's known for scoring famous movies like Star Wars, E.T., Indiana Jones, Jaws, Jurassic Park, and more, it also includes animation from Glenn Keane. Keane is known for his work on the Disney films like The Little Mermaid and Beauty and the Beast. However, it turns out that some people are upset that the Academy decided to nominate Bryant's film. That's due to the recent Me Too movement that is a major Hollywood topic this year. The hashtag Me Too relates to the problem of sexual assault and harassment carried out by male actors, directors, and producers. Two of the major Hollywood players affected by this movement are producer Harvey Weinstein, who produced numerous Oscar nominees and award winners. The other is Kevin Spacey, who won two Academy Awards for acting. There is a petition circulating that has over 10,000 signatures. It requests that the Academy rescind Bryant's nomination due to the allegations that he raped a woman in 2003 while awaiting knee surgery at a resort in Colorado. The case was never brought to trial and was eventually settled out of court. Bryant later only publicly said that he had a sexual encounter outside of his marriage. Sonny, we'll find out if the Academy responds to this petition before the big awards show, which is scheduled for Sunday night, March 4th.
Dan, Kobe Bryant received many honors during his professional basketball career. 18 times Kobe was named to the NBA All-Star team. The 2018 NBA All-Star Game will be played February 18th in Los Angeles. And this year, there's a new format to showcase the players. Can you share what's different with our VOA listeners?
So we've recently talked about which players were selected to play in the All-Star Game, as you mentioned, coming up February 18th in Los Angeles. So for the first time, the league's showcase will not pit the Eastern Conference against the Western Conference. If you remember those All-Star games of the 80s, we would see players like Larry Bird and Isaiah Thomas on the Eastern Conference team playing against Magic Johnson and James Worthy and Kareem Abdul-Jabbar from the West.
That's right.
This year, it's going to be Team LeBron against Team Steph Curry. They're the team captains, and they had a draft to choose their teams. The draft happened on a conference call last night. That's a little different how we used to do it on the playground, Sonny, when we were picking teams for kickball. But
Hated to be picked last.
Nobody
Dan.
Wanted to be picked last. It looks like Kevin Durant was the number one overall pick by LeBron. A lot of the NBA analysts thought that would be a great feature for television but the players that were elected to the All-Star game apparently couldn't agree in time as to what sort of format they wanted for this draft. So after Kevin Durant was picked number one, LeBron also went with Anthony Davis, DeMarcus Cousins, and Kyrie Irving. For Team Steph Curry, it'll be Giannis Antetokounmpo, DeMar DeRozan, Joel Embiid, and James Harden. So after Durant, James's rival from the Golden State Warriors, he interestingly chose his former Cleveland Cavaliers teammate Kyrie Irving. Irving, of course, over the summer forced a trade from the Cavs and has now led Boston into first place in the Eastern Conference. James said, "Choosing Irving was an easy choice. He's one of the best point guards we have in our league." Rounding out each team, Curry went with his Golden State teammates, Draymond Green and Klay Thompson. And Sonny, you'll like this. Your Washington Wizards backcourt mates, John Wall and Bradley Beal, will stick together on Team LeBron.
All right.
An early analysis shows that LeBron's team will have the size. Of course, we know how big LeBron is, but Cousins, Davis, LaMarcus Aldridge, and the New York Knicks Latvian star Kristaps Porzingis are all around 7 feet tall, while Curry's team only has the big men Karl Anthony Towns and Joel Embiid. Curry, though, says that he's going to be shooting a lot of three-pointers to make up for the size differential. So we'll see who turns out to be the best general manager in training on February 18th at the All-Star Game.
Dan, this programming note for our Voice of America listeners. I'll be taking a few days off, and I'll be back behind the Voice of America microphone on February 2nd, a week from today, on Friday. None other than Dan Friedell will be helming the Sunny Side of Sports ship. Dan, any nervousness about being the host next week?
You're putting me on the spot, but I think I've had a good bit of training this week, and I'm looking forward to taking the helm of the ship next week. Of course, with the help of our great producer, Bill Werkinger.
Well, Dan, we've got a couple minutes left in the show. At the top of the program, we heard from Roger Federer sizing up Marin Cilic, his opponent in Sunday's Australian Open men's final. How do they match up head-to-head?
Well, the big advantage that Cilic may have is his size. Of course, he's about 5 inches taller than Federer. And his age, Federer will turn 37 this year, a few weeks before the U.S. Open starts. But of course, Federer looks to be playing as well as he's ever played. He's cruised through this Australian Open with barely a challenge. And then he didn't even have to play the full match in his semifinal match. So if he needed a little bit of extra rest going into the finals, he has an opportunity for that. We'll see if that makes any difference. While Cilic has been kind of grinding through the draw himself, hasn't cruised in the same way Federer did. But of course, Cilic did defeat Rafael Nadal earlier in this tournament. So he certainly has the credentials to be there. Cilic is seeking his second career Grand Slam. He won the 2014 U.S. Open, which is another hard surface.
Right.
Of course, of the four Grand Slams, two of them are on hard courts. You've got the French Open clay and the grass in Wimbledon. So if Cilic is going to pull off his second career big title, it could come in Australia this weekend. But Federer, he has an astounding 8-1 record against Cilic in their career. And the only win came in 2014 on the hard courts of the U.S. Open in Queens, which is when Cilic went on to win his only Grand Slam in his career.
Dan Friedell, thanks, Dan. And that wraps up the January 26th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer Thomas Blondet. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Have a nice weekend, everyone. And that's the sunny side of sports.
I get it.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
Journalism remains a dangerous profession in too many places around the world. On October 16th, Daphne Caruana Galizia, a journalist reporting on corruption in Malta as part of the Panama Papers investigation, was killed by a car bomb. In September, attackers set fire to the car of Yulia Latinina, a columnist for Novaya Gazeta and host of a weekly radio show in Russia. Protecting journalists and media practitioners against violence from those who may want to censor them is a core tenet of freedom of expression, said Shannon McGuire, a media advisor with USAID's Bureau for Europe and Eurasia, promoting independent media development. Since 1992, more than 800 journalists have been murdered around the world, according to the Committee to Protect Journalists, or CPJ. Of those cases, 86% were killed with impunity, meaning no one has been held responsible. In Russia, which ranks in the top 10 of CPJ's list, the attack on Latinina was just the latest in a series of assaults and threats against Russian journalists and opposition figures that have not resulted in formal charges. In Ukraine, the murder of prominent investigative journalist Pavel Sheremet also remains unsolved more than a year later. The U.S. Agency for International Development, or USAID, has prioritized support to independent media in Europe and Eurasia since beginning work there in 1992. Its programs focus both on the supply and demand sides of news and information, as well as advocating for greater press freedom. One such program is the Regional Investigative Journalism Network, which helps shield reporters from attack by making it more difficult for criminals to pinpoint those who have exposed their wrongdoings. In Ukraine, USAID's U-Media project has collaborated with more than 500 independent media outlets to ensure that professional journalists operate safely and protect their data in conflict areas in eastern Ukraine and Crimea while they report on the fighting and Russian occupation. Donors, policymakers, advocacy organizations, and civil society organizations must continue to exert pressure on those involved in censorship to ensure the continuation of open, public debate and the free flow of information. Journalists are not soldiers, and their cameras and pens are not weapons, said Ms. McGuire. They shouldn't need to fear the phrase, "Don't kill the messenger."
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
Hello, this is Peter Clotty, host of Nightline Africa. Please join us every Saturday and Sunday at 16 and 18 hours UTC. Nightline Africa is VOA's Africa's weekend show that provides news, features, and entertainment news about Africa and the world. Tune in. You will be glad you did. I guarantee it.
Hello, this is Heather Maxwell, host of Music Time in Africa. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for an hour of awesome African music. Wake up, dance this music. Like to stay on top of new music trends, breakout artists, new releases? Maybe you just love the classic styles and artists of the past. Or simply the sound and feel of a good beat. Whatever your pleasure, you can get it every week right here on Music Time in Africa. So join me on your local FM station, Saturdays and Sundays at 1500 and 2000 UTC.
VOA News.
VOA. When news breaks, VOA News is there.
Around the clock, listen to VOA Newscast at the top of each hour, along with our detailed news programs and analysis.
We are online at voanews.com.
VOA, your trusted source of news and information.